The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Welcome to our new friends. Welcome to old friends. You've made it once again to my brother and me, an advice show for the modern era. I am your host, Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
And this is a new era. It's a bold new day, as you heard from our theme music. This is familiar. It's not too familiar, but it is. It will still be pretty much the same. So it's not exactly like in the song, but you get the basic joke.
It's nothing like the song, but it's a good song.
It's a good song. It's a good ass song. Long Winters gave us permission because we are now fancy, fancy gentlemen. Now, what could have prompted a move like this? Is it the worry of lawsuits from an extremely powerful and rich musical group like ABBA?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's 99% of it is my fear of death in prison.
We will die in prison because we don't have the rights to use that song. And here's the weird thing. ABBA, not so good by returning our phone calls. We try our best, but no dice. But we do want to signify a change because we have – it's kind of a big deal today. It's exciting news if this is the first place you're hearing about it. It's still pretty exciting even if you already know. My brother and me has joined – with the Maximum Fun Network, Voltron-like.
We are the left foot of the Maximum Fun robot.
Right.
Could we also be like Megazord? Does it have to be Voltron, or can we go into like Mighty Morphin Power? I'm more comfortable with Mighty Morphin
Power. Ideally, we would be like Dragonzord, and we could be like our whole other mech, but I don't think that we'd reach
I'm not going
level.
Down this road with you guys. There are new people listening.
Saying we pull out our magic Green Ranger flute, and we summon the Dragonzord. We don't have to make a big deal out of it.
I can't do this with the AO. I can't do it.
Oh, you're thinking more of like a white saber-toothed tiger, like Tommy, the Red Ranger, when he came back.
One more word, I'll quit. I swear to Jesus. this is an advice show for the modern era. We take
a Power Rangers fan cast.
And a Power Rangers fan cast. We used to do VR Troopers too, but that well ran dry.
If we get into Beetleborgs, I quit.
We had a brief Big Bad Beetleborgs phase, but we grew out of that pretty quickly.
Yeah, now it's pretty much just advice and Power Rangers and Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills. But
Samurai Pizza Cats. We're all about that shit.
But no, this is an advice show. We take your questions and questions from various sources throughout time and space, and we transform them alchemy-like into wisdom. So, Will, I know that if you're new to the show, then you've probably got our old friends. Then you've probably got a lot of questions, and we will deal with those at the end of the show and try to address those. And of course, we welcome you to get in contact with us. But Practical Upshot is it's all good stuff. It's a really exciting thing for us personally, but it's not going to represent a big change to the show. It's still going to be the same thing. Pretty much. So
I said we are contractually obligated to stop talking about Power Rangers.
Yeah. It was like the first thing that they said.
I don't know what it is. It's just that like the Max Fun Network and Bandai have like just this long-standing grudge. I can't even recall where it started, but
rancorous. It's how I discuss their relationship. It's rancorous. It's full of rancor. They also wanted it. Max Fun also wanted us to change the name of the show to Chuckle Fraternity, but we shot them down on that. So we're already we are replacing Travis, but that is sacrifices. You know what I mean? We're currently at the point where Jesse Thorne standing in for Tom Hanks would tell us to change our name from the O'Neaters to the Wonders.
Yeah,
is where we're at.
Yeah. But you know what? I've had a good run.
I mean, you served a very important purpose on this show as Gilbert Gottfried's placeholder.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, that is who we're replacing with.
Yeah.
Because we've gotten a lot of notes on the show, and most of them have to do with that. It's just not grating enough to the ears.
Sonically, it's too pleasing.
They want it to be sonically unpleasing. So we're just going to get Gilbert Gottfried on. One week we might have Tom Waits. Just people who are generally unpleasant to listen to.
Snooki, make sure to tune in for that.
God. In fact, one episode, just no McElroys at all. Just Snooki, Tom Waits, and Gilbert
Gottfried. God, listen to that show.
God,
we got a Yahoo answer from... That's my
is
that Tom Waits.
How it is? That's good. That's very good. All right, enough.
To be fair, that's also your Tom Hanks.
impressions. Pussyfooting around. Let's get into the wisdom, into the knowledge, and let's open it up. This comes to us from Formspring. Hey, MBMBAM, I have a problem falling asleep every night. If I go to bed at 10, I end up falling asleep around 1 or 2. And I usually have to get up early, meaning I only get, at most, 5 hours of sleep every day. What do you guys do to fall asleep faster? Yeah,
this is our high energy Max.
This is our high energy opening, Travis. How do you fall asleep?
Well, everyone sleeps.
Give me some sleep tips. I think you want
to appeal to everybody.
If you did this intentionally, you're a genius. If it's an accident, you're a dumb guys falling asleep. How do you do?
So far, I would say just listen to this particular episode of our podcast.
Step Welcome. One.
Welcome. Well, okay. First, you jerky. Like,
what? Just jerky. So right.
Just jerky. I feel like we're on a first date right yeah, now. I feel like we're on a first date right now, with somebody that we met on the internet, and like, I don't know, everything we say, like, you're going to just assume...
the first that words
like,
out of your mouth.
That's just what we're all about.
You sit down at the table, it's like, hi, I'm Paul, jerking it. Yeah. What? That's a weird intro, Paul, but let's go with it. I think if you are still on board by the end of the episode, then we've got you for life. If you've already tuned away, it probably wasn't meant to be.
Let me go ahead and change course here and give some advice. First and foremost, what's important is to change your habits before going to bed. Do not read in bed. Do not watch TV in bed. The bed is a place for sleeping. If you train your mind to getting used to doing other things in bed, it'll be harder to fall asleep.
Nothing?
Well, you jerk it.
That's not it at all.
That's not like a
that's
good...
That's actually really wicked bad advice.
That's like bad advice.
That's what any sleep therapist will tell you.
That your bed is a sleep temple that you can't do anything else in?
Well, tell you to have sex in the kitchen? Like, is that what you're saying to me?
No, I'm saying when you're getting ready for bed, not for the sexy time, but when you're getting ready for bed, get ready for bed. Don't, you know, go to bed and then play video games for an hour. Don't watch TV. You know, you can sex it up in there. But, you know, when you're going to sleep...
Just don't make that noise. Go to sleep. Do not make that noise while you do it.
So wait. Let me get this straight, Travis. What you're saying, and you're claiming to be backed up by medical science.
Yes,
here,
yes, I am.
That when you get into bed, you should lie perfectly still and just wait. Is that what you're saying to me?
Like, did Travis learn how to sleep in prison? Because that's what it's well,
not.
Like.
Not wait for the screaming wait, to stop. You just go to sleep.
I can't. I don't have a switch like that. I have to fucking trick my body into not being conscious anymore. My body wants to be.
But
awake
you also
so
drink
much.
Like bottles and bottles of NyQuil every night.
No, because that's a slippery slope. I'm
been
just
down
saying,
that road.
Like, my body knows that when I'm asleep, I'm basically dead for like 8 hours.
Sure.
And that's, you know, not only terrifying but wasteful. There's a lot of things I could be doing with my dead time. So yeah, I have to like trick it. I have to sit on my legs for a while until my legs fall asleep, and the rest of my body is like, yeah,
don't do
might
this.
As well just go for it.
What you do? You think about the world we live in today. It's 2011. At any moment, I could press a button and have any television program or book read to me by the author or movie or anything at my finger. How am I supposed to sleep through that? Like, think about all the amazing things I have at my disposal. How can I convince myself that sleeping would be better than that?
Oh, so we're going the opposite way. We're just telling him to, like, forget it.
Forget just, sleep. Like,
Make do with that 5 hours and maybe do something with your life.
Have you guys ever tried to drink warm milk? It's foul.
It's fucking gross. You have to, like, first of all, you got to chortle down that skin that forms on the top. Like, you have to break the what's that thing called? The seal?
The Muffet.
The Muffet. Yeah,
you gotta break the Muffet. It's called?
The Muffet, yeah, you gotta break the Muffet.
Yeah, and that's not a pleasant taste at all.
And everybody knows that's where the sleeping is. You gotta drink the skin or else.
You gotta get the Muffet down.
If you don't drink the Muffet.
The Muffet.
If you don't drink the Muffet, you'll be up for hours.
Can you buy piecemeal Muffet?
Yeah, they're dehydrated Muffet. But
really, the only place I've ever seen it though is at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, they do. You know, it's like in the old timey paper wrapping. And you get
sure. You play some checkers. You eat some licorice sticks, and then
the great irony is, of course, that anybody would ever eat at Cracker Barrel and not want to sleep instantly. That's like you need it. So eat your Muffets. Go to Cracker Barrel and never read in bed. I think it's a pretty good takeaway. I've been happily married for 3 years, but I've been noticing something that I no longer think is a coincidence. I've been getting a lot more attention from ladies ever since I got married. I was never a real lady killer in the first place. That's good. But I did all right. Since I've been married, however, I've gotten flirted with much, much more than I ever did when I was single. What's up with that? Mike. So Mike is cool. Mike's now killing ladies.
Yeah. That's really cool because as a chronically single male, that's like the one thing that I have. That's like the one leg up is that like I have the opportunity to do that if I wanted to, but I don't and you do and you can't use it. So that's cool that you're just you just have this embarrassment of lady attention. I'm really happy for you, Mike.
Griffin, have you considered putting a ring on it?
Adam Sandler is making a movie about that, and I try to live my life avoiding any phony baloney Adam Sandler movie scenarios.
Except for the time that I sold you that magical remote control.
There
for
was that,
hours.
And I did go back to elementary school at the age of like 25. So,
yeah,
no,
we were really worried during that time period. By the way,
and that was only to recruit for your jump rope team. So I don't think that's it's not the same thing.
Well, here's my thinking on this, is that it's not that I would like to believe enough in humanity that it's not that every woman is instantly attracted to a guy because he is married, but I think it's more that you become more comfortable. You're not trying to impress anyone. I mean, you've already got, you know, your significant other, so you're not working at it, which instantly makes you more attractive.
Like, so true. That's it. 100%.
If every single guy listening to the show can take away one thing, it is if you just relax and stop working, it makes you so much cooler. Like, women will like you so much more if you're not trying to impress them.
Brain married. That's what I call it. You got to be brain married.
I like that a lot.
How deep does that inception go, though? Like, I mean, I need obviously a name for my brain wife, right? Mm-hmm. I would need a name and, like, a story of how we met. How I met your brain mother. I'm saying I can invent an entire scenario around a person and then not let anybody know about it except for me. I can do that. Like, I've played Dungeons and Dragons. I'm totally capable of suspending entire, you know, worlds in my mind's eye. And
it's ironic. Those two skills dovetail so nicely. Yes.
Because I know that when I'm trying to stop impressing women, the first thing I do is talk about Dungeons and Dragons.
Hi. And you know what? A lot of people try to keep this their brainwife secret. I say you open with it. I say, hi, my name is Griffin. I have an imaginary wife and a great skill at playing Dungeons and Dragons. Would you like to dance with me?
And you know something? My favorite Decemberists album is The Brainwife, so... I thought I'd kill that conversation.
Yeah. Thanks, Griffin.
Yeah, you did it. Mission accomplished.
You guys want to hear Yahoo?
I would love please. To. Yahoo Answers. Can you tell us about those, Griffin?
Yahoo Answers are, they come from a website that is also called Yahoo Answers, and they are written by the dregs of humanity, and we take them and we make fun of the people who ask them.
That's not true. We help them. Griffin, don't break the solution for me.
I do believe that everybody who asks a Yahoo Answer question is beyond help from anybody.
Okay, do it.
This one was sent in by Maddie B. Thank you, Maddie B. It's by Yahoo Answers user Jessica, who asks, help with my own urban legend? In my English class, we're having this huge project on urban legends. My job is to create my own urban legend, but I'm having trouble making a good plot. I need suggestions. I can write. romance, horror, suspense, supernatural, par, etc.
Wait, what?
I don't. Maybe golf. Golf themed urban legends. I don't understand. So I would prefer one of these topics in it. I know there are non-scary urban legends out there, but I like creepy, it can possibly happen to you stories.
Does this urban legend have to be about her?
I don't know if it has to be about her or her.
What is the name of this emailer? This asker?
It's Jessica, which is nearly impossible to make sure.
She must have been early on the Yahoo Answers stream. She was able to get Jessica as her username.
Oh, that's a pretty sweet username. I hear people are just selling those off now for like six figures.
Yeah. It's pretty cherry. Jessica, the legend of Jessica. And then hiding in the backseat is Jessica. Like, that's not really scary, is it?
Maybe we can find some inspiration and some answers. What do you think? Okay. Let's just dip in there and see what happens. Answerer one says, a bad storm comes and everyone is safe but one young teenage boy. At the same time every morning, weird things happen where his death took place. It begins to attract more and more kids from his school, especially those who were close to him. Things begin to get stranger and stranger. Now, that's my favorite part in every horror story, is when things begin to get stranger and stranger. Those who were close to him decide to use a Ouija board to communicate with him at that same time, the same day, a year later. Unfortunately, they learn that it wasn't him the hard way.
Wait, hold on.
Best thing I could spring up at this time. Maybe you can work with it in other people's ideas.
Wait. The kid lived, I thought.
Did it? Because a bad storm came and everyone was safe except for one young teenage boy. Please
stop.
That is the worst urban legend I've ever heard.
Hey, it's the best thing that they could spring up at this time.
But I love it. But the whole point of an urban legend is that you tell it to somebody and they go, oh yeah, I think I know someone that happened to. Like, who's going to listen to this? Like, oh yeah, I remember when that one young boy was in danger from the one storm, even though everyone else was safe. But then a year later, they used a Ouija board, but it turned out it wasn't him the hard way.
What? I think it's got stranger and then later stranger. What things? Your story's not good.
Have you noticed how strange this toast is? Yeah, I also noticed that this cup was strange. Everything's getting stranger and stranger.
It's getting really strange today. Hey, man, my favorite Stephen King book is the one where my favorite line of his was, and then the guy went to a place and this scary thing happened.
And it got scarier and scarier. And
they thought scarier. It was a scary thing, but it was another one. Boom.
The hard way.
Ghost and shit.
What's the easy way to figure out that a ghost is a different ghost? Like, find a note?
So wait, did they think, okay, so they try to get in touch with this little boy, Jessica, on the Ouija board. And it turned out that he didn't die, or that there was another ghost hidden?
There was another ghost.
He definitely died. This is all just a really great spectral coincidence, because ghosts have to hang out where they die, like, forever, right? Ghosts can't just, like, wander unless they have Beetlejuice powers. But even then, they couldn't leave the house, right? Or else they got eaten by the Dune sandworm. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. So, like, I guess two ghosts got killed at the same place. And one was significantly scarier and stranger than the other one.
Yeah.
I don't know. This obviously needs some workshopping. How about answerer two, who says, with my creative mind, I will help you. Oh, good. God.
That's good, Diddy.
This old woman lives in an old house with an old husband, and at night you can always see a candle lit in the top window of the attic. It is said they practice the occult. I heard it through the grapevine that these old dudes...
Did you hear it through the grapevine?
People say they hear moaning and screams coming from the cellar and home. Just to be specific.
Are you hearing screaming? I am. I can't tell if it's coming from their cellar or from the... Let's go in and investigate. Because I don't know if it's from the lower part of the house or the upper part.
The cellar's not part of the home proper. I think we can all agree. A cellar is basically a second bullshit home that you keep buried underneath your regular home because you're so embarrassed of it. Because it's just one stupid room.
Did you guys notice the moaning and screaming? It comes from their cellar or home? Yeah, I heard that they practice the occult. And also, there's a candle in the window. Why did you bring up the
candle? This is the best story
ever. We're talking about We're talking about a cult. Why did you bring up the candle, bro?
Screams and stuff, and it turns out there's a candle in their window. Guys, you can believe that.
It's about to get stranger and stranger. Just buckle up.
Okay.
After about 20 years, the woman and man disappear. The purchaser of the home finds a secret door in the cellar. He also finds marked graves.
Wait. The seller of the person who sold the home to him?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yes, there was a secret door hidden inside the body of the real estate agent who sold this spooky, spooky home. He also finds marked graves. There have been children disappearing for years in the town. Maybe could have mentioned that earlier. And when they dig up the graves, they only find 3 of the 14 missing. Where are the rest?
Why are there 3 there?
Wait.
They say the rest were buried in the backyard. They dig up the backyard to no avail. This is super boring.
Wait, what?
Here's some other shit that has no significance.
Did you hear the one about the guys who went in the forest looking for the monster? There was no monster there, but still, it was pretty creepy.
Yeah, they got really close for his friends.
Another secret door in the attic is discovered.
No, it wasn't.
There's a candle. There are the bones and skulls of the remaining 12 children. The old people have disappeared, and to this day might be your neighbors. I know my neighbors. They are not. I don't. It is said with the occult, they were in. They found a way to live forever. Good luck.
Are you still going on with this?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay,
it ends with good luck.
Here's a quick lesson in urban legend. Urban legend. Kid was sticking his head out a window. A car was passing with a dog sticking their head out of the window. The kid knocked the dog's head off. That's an urban legend.
Yeah, or like Chupacabra. Like, these are all good urban legends.
And then they looked in the basement, but they couldn't find anything.
There was an old house with old people in it, and there were screams in it, and also a candle. And then 20 years passed, and people bought it, and they found 3 out of 14 missing kids, and they thought they looked in the backyard, but nope. Griffin, attic. It's bones and shit. They're not your
neighbors. The thing that's fucking me up is where is the graveyard? Is that clarified?
I think it's the marked graves. The secret door in the cellar.
No. The graveyard that they find with the gravestones and stuff.
Yeah, it's in Where the secret door in the cellar.
Okay. So wait. These old people basically have been killing kids for sacrifice.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they went to their basement after they killed them and dug 14 graves and put like marks up and stuff, right?
But they only put 3 dead kids in there.
So they were planning on being far busier than they had planned originally. Is that, or he got lazy? Like, Carl, will you please take those dead kids out of the attic and bury them in our cellar?
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? First of all, one thing I just put it together already, June. They dug up the graves and only found 3 of the 14 children missing, but they found 12 kids worth of bones in the attic.
They found an extra kid.
That's 15 dead kid bodies. Like,
where did this extra kid come from? I don't know. Just check.
Where did these numbers come from in the first place? This guy's typing on Yahoo Answers.
If you grew up in this fictional town, you would know about the 14 missing kids. I think we can just assume that. I want to know more about this. Here's my issue.
You have one issue.
I have one issue. I have one plot point, one hole that my comprehension is falling through. And that
they
is
have
this.
11.
That is this. All right. So they look in the cellar where there were screams coming from.
Sure. Right.
And they find 3 of the bodies. And they find the rest in the goddamn attic where no screams were coming from. The screams were either coming from the cellar or the home. They don't mention the attic. Why are there bodies in the attic?
Get it together. From what I understand, these people, these occultists, were old as fuck. Like, how are they going to carry 12 super, super dead kids up 3 flights of stairs, assuming the house is 2 stories tall?
Have you ever tried to carry a dead kid? Because it's like cord. Like, it is.
It's heavier than you would think. Like,
they go limp. Like, they go wicked limp.
They do not help whatsoever.
No, they're not pitching in. Why would these people not get a single... I wish the town would all chip in and get these people, like, a nice, you know, single level, maybe a wheelchair ramp, something a little bit more accessible, so they can kill kids and not have to put their old joints in such disrepair.
This is just really bad planning. I expect more from our nation's elderly.
Hey, Mabim Bam, I have this friend on Facebook who comments on almost every single post people put up. And it's usually just stupid, meaningless things like lol or smiley faces. He's starting to get really on my nerves. And I know other people are annoyed too. I don't want to confront him about this. And deleting him as a friend seems too harsh. Any advice?
Oh, man. Man. Leading him as a friend, how will he ever recover?
I know, and you know what? Confront him either. But Brad, if you're not going to confront a Facebook friend, you're going to have to deal with the fucking lols, my buddy.
Yeah.
This is America.
This is one of those, like, it's almost like a trick question where him doing it isn't that bad, and you telling him to stop doing it isn't that bad. It's fucking Facebook.
It's like, Facebook. Nothing matters.
Just almost don't nothing read on the stupid comments.
Yeah, either ignore it because it's fucking Facebook.
Nothing on the internet that you do matters, especially not on Facebook.
Yeah.
Now, if he was coming over to your house every day and, like, knocking on your door and saying, lol, and running off, by all means, kill that man.
No, that'd Facebook, be awesome.
Whatever.
I would love that. I need that friend in my life.
What if you could have him, like, what if you could have him hiding behind your couch so you're talking to your brain wife and you make a really good zinger and he just pops up, lol. And then hides
that. Okay, I take it back. That would rule.
It would be awesome, right?
He just makes a smiley face with his face and then goes away.
And he just gives you a thumbs up and says, I like this. And then goes
Who's at the window? There's somebody at the window. It's Frank. He's smiling. He's smiling.
He's just letting us know that this video we were talking about is really funny. There's some people like that on the internet that just, they're incapable of either creating or finding things that are awesome. So they just, you know, they react to them. But they do it with 2 to 4 keystrokes. That's like all the energy that they have in them. And that's fine. Those people have their place.
I appreciate the economy of that, because if he was getting on every single thing everyone posted and he would type out a paragraph describing why he enjoyed that thing and why others should enjoy it too, dude, just put a smiley face so I can ignore it and move on with my life and get back to Farmville, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like is a good button. Tell him to start using like. Tell him that you give 10 cents to charity every time he clicks like on something and doesn't comment on it. Let's go a little more life affirming. We have a special question. Who did this one come to us from, Griffin?
This one was sent in by one Mr. Jonathan Anderson.
Okay, and you know what? It's such a special occasion. Let's let Jonathan ask himself. What do you think?
Go for it.
Hey guys, this is John from Brooklyn, and I'm in need of a bit of advice. I've been dating my girlfriend Katie for the last 4 years. We met at college and have been madly in love ever since. I recently dropped stacks on a engagement ring for her, but just can't think of the best way to do it. Can you guys tell me how I should propose to the love of my life? Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
A fine question. A difficult thing to do well.
We've actually answered this question before, but it was a total phony joke. And this time, unless Jonathan's running the short grift on us, I think it's legit.
Yeah, I think it's legit. Welcome. What a treat for our Maximum Fun friends, our new Maximum Fun friends, that they are here for our very first, very real wedding proposal. Now, maybe we could just walk Jonathan through this step by step.
Okay? Yeah, because, I mean, he's in the moment right now, like listening to our voices. This is the most magical moment of his entire life.
Take a knee, left or right, doesn't matter.
No, right knee. Because if you take a left knee.
Go right knee.
You know how the divorce rate is 50-50? It's because the knees. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So go down right to the right knee. Or it's over.
Right. Okay, now you're going to reach into your pocket and make eye contact. This is very important.
Don't fall over.
Don't fall over, because then you'll be a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And look her straight in the eye. I hope if she has eyes. Let's say she has eyes.
Okay.
Look her straight in the eye. Okay? No, not like that, Jonathan. You're looking too serious. Like, look, yeah. It's a good moment.
Have like a half smile.
Like a half, like, knowing smile.
There you go.
That's good. That's good.
Now, your sweat hair is a little bit more than you are right now.
Yeah. Can you give your hair a little must just to give it some rakish charm? There we go. Okay. That's good.
Great.
He's already done it.
He's done it.
We took too long.
No. He's still in the moment.
He's going step by step. Okay, now you're going to pull your hands out, but you're going to do this like clamshell kind of thing, where you're like you're covering something up in your hand. What could it be?
And it's a candy. It's a Werther's original. Catch her off guard first.
She won't see that coming.
And then explain to her that you got her a picture of a ring.
It's a ring you got off Craigslist and a picture of it because the guys haven't brought it by yet, but he seems straight up. No, you have a ring. You get the ring out. You open the ring, but open it sort of close to her face so it looks bigger. This is key. You got to do this. You got to do it just that way. Now pull back a little bit because you're freaking her out.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully she's crying at this point, right?
Oh, she's openly weeping.
Okay, good.
It's happy tears, though.
Okay, do we know her name?
Katie.
It's Katie.
Katie. Look at this boy, Katie. He is here for you. He's chosen the most romantic way that I could think of to ask you to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
And I straight up, I mean this with all respect. You're not going to do any better.
No.
He's the best you're going to do.
Look at him.
Jonathan Anderson? Are you kidding me? That's the most powerful. That name is just, that's a virile name. It's full of vim and vigor. You can't get any better than that.
His knee is starting to hurt, guys. We gotta bring this up.
We're gonna put on some mood music. Justin's gonna put on the Wings of Love. We're gonna edit that in right now. I definitely won't forget to do that.
Okay. So now, that's good. That's going real good. Now, Jonathan, look her in the eyes. We're gonna give you like literally 3 seconds to say something special. Go. On the wings of love, up and above. And then, okay, now ask her. Do it. On the wings of love. Katie, come back.
Katie, no, wait. Oh.
Hey, Jonathan. We lost her.
Listen.
Hey. Wait, she's back. She's back. Okay, great. She rethought it. And it looks like, that looks like a big yes. Congratulations.
This is a weird way to do this, because we have no way. He said he was going to send in their response.
God almighty. God,
man, I really hope it's yes, or else this whole thing is just... so sad.
Jonathan, listen, if it's not a yes, you can never let us know. We couldn't take the rejection, honestly.
What do you think he said? How do you think he phrased it?
How do you think he said?
I think he just said, I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry.
It seemed like such a good idea before, but now it seems like a really bad idea that I
Let's not tell the kids.
We'll never tell the kids. Write us in 5 years and we'll help you come up with a story for how it really happened.
What if he just said, like, get at me. He just put that ring out there and was just like, hey, get at it. Get it.
He looks at her and he says, hey, weirdest first date ever, right?
Hey.
Nailed it.
Congratulations, you two. I'm sure it went
Or well. Condolences, either way.
Yeah, one of those two.
Hey, how about we break up the flow a little bit with a Yahoo.
Okay.
This one was sent in by Jonathan Bartram. Thank you, Jonathan Bartram. It's by Yahoo Answers user Donnie J, who asks, do aliens go to heaven and hell also? There is no way Earth is the only planet with life out of billions of planets, so does aliens from other parts of the universe go to hell and heaven also? Or is it only strictly for humans? We've addressed the concept of extraterrestrial spirituality in a previous episode, where we established that each planet does in fact have its own Jesus.
Right.
So
everybody knows that.
I think that it only makes sense that other planets would have their own heavens too, because I don't want to sound like a bigot or nothing. I don't want to spend eternity with a bunch of off-worlders, which is as everyone knows, the racist term for outer space.
But here's the thing, though. This is what you're forgetting. It by alien, you are implying that is someone from another planet coming to our planet, and as everyone knows, if you die on this planet, you're under the jurisdiction of Earth God.
Of Earth God, so, like, Earth Jesus, yeah.
A lot of people, a lot of planets will actually, like, if you're an alien and you do something really terrible, like, you'll make a run for the border and then try to die when you cross it. Because Mars Jesus and Mars God will follow you right to, like, the border. You know that asteroid belt between the two? It'll follow you right there. And then... Mm-hmm. It's sort of like smoking the band to, like, throw his hat down. Like, oh, God damn it. He got away again. and then you got to go die on Earth, and then Earth.
But Earth, Earth heaven beats the shit out of Mars heaven. It beats the shit out of basically our whole the whole Milky Way thing that we have. Earth is totally the best. I think we can all agree.
Well, if you come from Mars, yeah, but if you die on Earth and then go to Earth heaven, a lot of people think it's a step down because they're still making coffee from pots instead of like those pods, like single serve up in Earth heaven. And Earth,
but to be fair, have you guys ever visited Neptune heaven? That's the party heaven.
Is it really?
Is that party heaven?
Yeah. That is the party heaven. Don't get me wrong. Their infrastructure is shit. Like, there's no clean water, and the bathrooms suck. But it is a rave 24/7.
It's a very it's a very cold, moist planet. So I think that I guess that raving is really all they have to do there.
You know, if you drink a tube of fluorescent while you're in Neptune heaven, nothing happens. So it's like the best thing.
If you drink a glow stick, you mean?
If you drink the glow stick, exactly.
No, Griffin, a tube of fluorescent.
That's why the words wouldn't come.
That's what they called them in the UK.
Give me a tube of that fluorescent juice. Go blimey.
Oh, good.
That's great, wonderful. Travis. We're showing off our talents on this, our first Maximum Fun episode.
Quick, Griffin, play the spoons. No, but do you know what happened when they declassified Pluto as a planet? All those spirits were injected into the inky blackness of space. They had to
close Pluto. Good work, scientists.
Thanks, scientists. Yeah. You sent a bunch of souls to oblivion forever.
Yeah, Pluto Nash is actually about him looking for the spirit of his grandmama to rescue it from the abyss. That's true. That's science.
All joking aside.
Finally.
This is why the space race is still so... just so vitally important, because we've only spread the word of Earth Jesus to the moon, and that's it. The rest of the, I mean, we shoot satellites with Earth Jesus's message like into the stars, into the heavens, but I don't know. I feel like that's not as effective as, you know, an actual astronaut armed with the good book and maybe a few Chick Tracks. So just support NASA with all your money, because it'll help save aliens from going to hell forever.
Mm-hmm. You don't want aliens to go to hell. And Mars hell, forget about it. Mars is already basically hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you add on the fact that it's hell. Ugh. Ugh. You don't want any slice of that. I take city buses to and from my college campus. Last month I noticed a dollar on the floor by my feet. Since no one was near me and no one seemed to be freaking out over lost money, I decided to take it. I feel that if I had asked any other passengers if it was theirs, any unscrupulous individual would have claimed it was theirs, regardless of whether it was or not. What's the proper etiquette in this situation? Is it better to ask around, or is it a reward for the first person to notice it on the ground? Sincerely, victim of circumstance. Victim of circumstance. What year are you living in that a dollar is worth thinking about?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even pick it up. I tear it in half. Have you seen the economy?
It's not only the tremendous physical effort that goes into bending down and retrieving an item from the ground. You're selling your own shame whenever you pick up money off the ground. You are selling your shame because you should be ashamed because you're like a dog. You're like a plebe. You're like a peasant picking up whatever scraps of currency that people have left lying around for you. It's shameful. And I don't think that a dollar is a good exchange rate. I wouldn't do it for anything less than 10.
I read in Monocle that the rich have been taking up throwing money on the ground and waiting for poor people to pick it up.
Yeah, for sport.
Yeah. So that you don't want to be the puppet in the game, like in Hard Target with Jean-Claude Van Damme, where you're playing a rich man's game. Like you want to be your own man who doesn't bend over for money. Now Fiverr, all right.
Fiverr is I don't know. It's a gray area in my mind. I say really? One. Fuck no, coins. Don't be a child. Don't even think about
now,
coins.
Now, see, I disagree with that. If it's a quarter, I'll pick it up. Because who doesn't always need a quarter?
That's the thing, man. Parking meters, I always need a quarter.
Yeah, and who doesn't always want some gum? And you're like, who has coins? No one has coins.
Yeah.
You're basically, it's an investment in future gum if you pick up a quarter. A dollar, though, you can't even get a soda with a dollar bill anymore. Quarters are
still
useful.
You know what I do?
What?
I just pick people's pockets. Just take it right out of their pocket.
Travis cuts out the middleman.
Yeah.
They're probably going to drop it anyway.
Yeah. They want you to have it. They want you to have it.
Now, pennies, don't get me started on pennies.
Oh, fuck pennies.
If you give me pennies as change, like at the Costco or the Speedway, I will throw them back in your face.
You know, I think bending over to pick up a dollar is 100 times worse than picking up a penny.
What is
mathematically? Yes.
Thank you.
What is the largest amount of money that you guys have found just like lying around in the wild? What that you didn't have to work for? You just sort of you happened upon it and you made it your own by way of your actions.
I found $64 once.
I found $60 in an envelope at Kings Island on a church trip. And I think the good Earth Jesus-y thing to do would have been to give it to the lost and found so it could be returned. Because, you know, you're a kid, you put your money in an envelope when you go to a theme park because you don't have a wallet yet. But, man, no.
Please tell me you did that.
Oh, I put that. Oh, that shit went right in my pocket. I bought a fanny pack with that money.
Ironically, if that kid had made that investment, he wouldn't have dropped his money.
Yeah, well, no, you know, I took the money. I took the remainder of the money and put it right in the fanny pack because I was a pretty streetwise young kid.
You're no sucker.
I'm no sucker, and I wore it with the buckle on the front so that nobody could snap it off on me. Nice try, kid.
I found $64 at work, and I did the right thing and like gave it to my boss and said, someone's probably going to come asking for this. And they didn't, which meant 30 days later, my boss just like randomly handed me $64 and was like, oh, here's this, by the way. No one picked it up. And it was like the sweetest, like, hey, thanks for doing the right thing bonus.
Mm-hmm.
But sure. I don't think you get that same response from a dollar. Like if you went up to the bus driver and said, excuse me, dear sir, I believe someone dropped this. Please hold on to it for me for 30 days in case someone comes to claim it.
Sure.
No, just go out and buy, I don't know, a pop. What can you buy for a dollar?
When you're at work, you don't really have a choice in the matter, do you? Because I could just like, when I worked at GameStop, like I could just like open up the register and be like, oh, I found $2,300. What do you know? I guess it's mine now.
So I guess what we're saying is steal.
Go looking. And by the way, this is not rocket science. If you find a larger amount that's actually worth your investment, pick it up. See if anybody look around. See if anybody's like giving you the stink eye, and then say, did anybody lose some money? And they have to tell you exactly how much it was.
Yeah, just
and then
don't if they say tell like, you that, did somebody lose $64. Did someone lose money?
Because everybody will say yes. Right.
I would never do that. I'm sorry. I would never do that. If I find money on the ground, it's mine, and I'll tell you why. It's because I lost my wallet at Camden Park, which is weird because I just told two theme park related stories in the same breath. But like, I lost my wallet, okay, and there were maybe $8 in it because I was just a little baby boy. But I did have my learner's permit in there and like some other like important shit, and nobody turned my wallet in. They kept it for the $8. The immense hassle I had to go through to get it, like a new learner's permit and like a new, I had like my social security card. I had some shit in there, some important shit, and it was gone forever over $8. That made me the angry shell of a person I am today. If I find any money or any object on the ground, it's mine. Sorry.
So it's like pay it forward.
It's pay it backward, actually. It's pay it inward.
Excuse me?
It's pay it inward. If somebody does something shitty to you, you do three shitty things to the rest of the planet.
You feel better about yourself.
You don't feel better about yourself. You just get angry and angrier. And then at the end,
so you feel worse.
In the end, you kill Haley Joel Lawson.
I want to watch that movie.
But that's the termination of it. All the wickedness that you've been building up, it all dies with him. He dies for you.
Yeah.
Haley Joel Osment died for all your minuscule sins, like keeping $8 from
He was Pluto Jesus.
He was Pluto Jesus.
Do you think the way I'm talking right now, and I have been talking for the past 2 minutes, is like how all criminals got started?
Why? Why did you murder that family? Because I lost my wallet at Cannon Park and nobody turned it in.
$8 goddamn dollars. I had to go to the DMV, pay like $35, take the fucking test over again. It like completely ruined my entire day over $8.
It's not worth it.
Apparently it ruined your life. You're a bitter human being.
Yeah, really. You're really angry about this. Do we want to do one more Yahoo question? Or should we wrap it up?
Do.
Yeah. Okay, break me off something. You must have something.
Oh, man.
Proper.
Oh, do I? This one was sent in by Shonen413. Thank you, Shonen. it's by Yahoo Answers user ? Who asks,
okay.
Ooh.
I need to perform a colonoscopy to myself. I need a colonoscopy performed on me, but unfortunately, in these economic times, I cannot afford a doctor. I'm pretty sure I could do it myself, but what should I get to perform? The only store near me is a Home Depot, so the tools need to be from there. What items should I get? I have a very low budget, so don't pick anything too expensive.
You're gonna need a rubber hose.
You're kind of tying our hands. I want a homemade colonoscopy, but I got maybe like $8 that I can drop on this?
I found in a wallet at Camden Park.
I found in a wallet at Camden Park, and now I'm going to spend on a butt camera. Can you help?
Now, okay. I can't imagine the kind of yoga one has to go into to operate
let
a
alone
self butt camera.
The tech.
You can't afford
the tech required is outrageous. Like, I would say the smallest camera that I own is my iPhone 4, and even that is going to be, if you'll forgive the term, a stretch. Like,
the thing that bothers me is not just that he doesn't just want to do a home one. He wants to do a home one on the cheap. Like, you can't say, I'm going to be cutting. Yeah, you're already cutting, like, the biggest corner. There are no other corners to cut. It's like oblong now. You can no longer cut corners. You're out of them.
I'm all about pioneer spirit. I'm all about DIY. I'm all about looking up shit on the internet and then doing that shit without getting help from other people.
Shit in your, what?
But not... But this is a bridge too far, dog.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
This is...
I love value. Like, everybody who knows me, they say, Justin Bargainhire, that's what everybody calls me. This is too much. And you've gone too far.
And 9 months ago, before we started doing this show, like, I would have thought this was a joke. But, like, reading the answers is, like, it's a real concern.
Yeah, it's a real concern.
Take a flexible, hollow, half-inch diameter flex hose about 2 or 3 feet long.
Stop it. This is not...
Take a webcam housing off around the lens and circuit board. Run a cable attached to webcam lens and circuit board through the hose. Insert circuit board into flex hose and mount camera lens even with the tip of a hose. Grind a flashlight lens down into the diameter of the hose. Cover camera lens with a flashlight lens. Plug your computer in and turn the webcam on. Ram the device up your ass and look for the
call. Step 6, kill self.
Can I make a humble suggestion of maybe sell your fucking computer and get a colonoscopy? Like, as long as we're thinking outside the box.
Can we start a fundraising drive to get this dude to a colonoscopist?
Why is that the plan? How about what are some ways I can get some more money? Like, I need more money.
I guarantee if you went to any doctor and said, I'm thinking about giving myself a self-colonoscopy unless you do it for free.
Doctor will do it for free. I'm going to hurt myself in my butt really bad if you do not come and give me a hand here.
I'm going to give it to you straight, Doc. You can either A, give me a free colonoscopy, or B, dig a homemade colonoscopy camera out of my butthole in 2 hours.
You decide.
This is how we're going to get healthcare. This is how we're going to get healthcare pushed through Congress. Is everybody calls their local representative and says, "Hey, I'm about to irreversibly damage my rectal wall if you do not get this shit approved." Hey, Obama. Hey, Obama. I'm going to hurt myself.
The goodness was on you, bro.
Yes, yes, we can stick a webcam up our assholes.
Good news, I appear to be cancer-free. Bad news, I'm never not defecating. Anytime you see me, I'm basically...
I broke whatever flange or cap is supposed to be there.
Dear Yahoo Answers, I'm never not defecating. Can you give me some homemade solutions? There's only a Home Depot near me. I need to be able to stop having bowel movement at some point.
But good news, I can Skype from my anus, which is pretty cool.
That is really nice.
I own a new hit website.
Oh, man. Never Not Defecating.
For a very specific...
Never Not Defecating is also my favorite podcast.
It's one of my favorites. Jimmy Fardo, there.
What do I care?
It was just right there. I'll just snatch it out. So this has been my brother.
Obviously.
We're so sorry. Like, you came aboard, you trusted the recommendations of people who you've come to know and love over these years, and this is what it has gotten you. Maybe, if nothing else, you've learned a valuable lesson about trust. Mm-hmm. I want to hear Griffin's very last question that we'll use to finish the show, but some housekeeping stuff. You can always find us at mbmbam.com. We will always be there. There you can find all the methods for asking us questions. mbmbam@gmail.com is our email address to get in contact with us. We have a Twitter account at MBMBAM where you can ask us questions there, or you can. We love it when people tweet questions using the MBMBAM hashtag without that at the beginning, so everybody can see it. Our quotes from the show, people like to do that sometimes, and we always really appreciate it. We have formspring.me/MBMBAM.
We haven't mentioned it in a while, but we do have the phone number, which is Griffin.
It's 203 Mabim Bam 1.
So, real quick, so that's for the new folks. New folks, thank you so much for joining us. Please, if you like what you heard, subscribe on iTunes I guess Zoom or whatever, BlackBerry or whatever other methods you like to use to listen to your podcasts. And please come back next week. We put a new episode up every Monday. Very rarely do we miss one, so make sure you come out for that. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Griffin McElroy. But you can suss that out.
Yeah, you probably sort that out yourself. Yeah. People who've been with us before now, I know that it might seem you might be a little worried. So let me get the most important thing out first. Nothing's going to change. Everything's going to be the same.
Except for everything.
What?
Nothing gold can stay, Pony Boy. Well, we did change the theme song. That did change.
Yeah, that did change. But the show's going to stay the same. Our website, you will see, will move over to Maximum Fun. You'll still get to it through MBM.com, but we're going to move the website over there and the forums over there, which I know that's kind of like, we've already been posting stuff, but everything can be the same there as it was.
There's so much overlap that I think that everyone's just going to get along really great. It's like cheaper by the dozen, right? It's like cheaper by the
step by step.
It's like step by. Oh, that's so much better, Travis. Thank you. It's like step by step.
You're welcome.
And like our family.
I call Cody. I'm Cody. Nailed it.
We are the Patrick. Fuck.
Hi, I'm Patrick. Fuck. You want to really for a week, the boost of hazard?
What's that dude's name?
Tom Wopat.
No.
What? Patrick Dempsey.
Patrick, no, fuck. It, the guy from Step by Step, the dad.
I know it. I just don't want to tell you. Duffy. Okay.
We're the Duff and...
We're the Patrick Duffies, and you are the Suzanne Summers.
Yeah. And we would like to welcome all of our new listeners that found us through MaxFun.org, and also all of our listeners that have never taken a chance to check out Jordan Jesse Go or Sound of Young America or any of the other ones. Stop what you're doing right after you finish this podcast.
Yeah, run, don't walk, and download. We got started doing podcasts because of listening to the Max Fun Network. So really, go subscribe to all of their shows and listen to them. We promise we will not get jealous. We not like that. We have an open relationship with you.
We're gonna have new merch and stuff. And all that will be revealed at a later point how we're going to be handling that, but because we don't know.
Also we're going to start doing promotions on the show, which if you've heard other shows on the Maximum Fun Network, then you know how those work. If you want to do a personal or a commercial message, we can definitely do that for you. If you want more details on price or how to get started, you can email Teresa at Maximum Fun. That's Teresa with an H.
It's not going to be, it's not going to impede your listening pleasure.
No.
Promise it won't be an annoyance.
We'll make it funny for you. We'll have some laughs.
We made a wedding proposal serious, and there's a 50-50 chance it is not funny at all. So
I'd say there's a 50-50 chance that we got fucking taken for a ride.
You think?
We got great. Yeah. But if we didn't,
he's at home cuddling his brain wife.
Don't use this to propose to your brain wife, please. If you have questions, this is not a joke. If you have questions, email us, or concerns. You've been with us the whole time. You're worried about what the future holds. Please email us. The only thing that we're probably not going to negotiate on is the music. Trust us, guys. That wouldn't be like, hey, they changed music. It would be like, what happened to Justin, Travis, and Griffin? They're in jail.
They're in Swiss jail. They were extradited immediately.
So don't worry. Don't worry about that. But anything else, questions or concerns, or just congratulations. That's nice. MBMBAM@gmail.com. Shoot us a line. Let us know what's going on. Our call. Either way. And thank you so much for your support over the months, because it's really because of you guys that we're still doing this. And the main reason we wanted to join up with Max Fun is just to expand to other people, introduce other people to the show, grow the family, as it were. If you've seen the hit show Sister Wives, it's basically like that.
We're basically the newest Sister Wife. But yes. Then again, on the newest Sister Wife is the only one who's not not gross looking. Not saying that that's a direct allegory to us. I'm just saying, I just watched Sister Wives for the first time, and man, holy shit, what a crazy show! That sentence went for a ride.
A good point.
Hey, you guys ever seen Sister Wives?
Hey, what's up with Sister Wives?
Just next week for my sister wife and me.
We're going to close out the show with a last question to sort of grow on and think about and mull over in the ensuing week. Thank you to new friends and old. Thank you so much for your support. We really do love you very much.
We're so happy that you're
Griffin.
Here. Just so excited and just
so
just
excited.
Generally, it's just bold, really horny.
So horny.
This one was sent in by John and Tony Majiggers. Thank you, John and Tony. It's by Yahoo Answers user Lois Griffin is in Germany. Who asks, what country is Queen Latifah ruler of?
McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, the kiss your dad, square on the lips.
Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks, keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart, three stacks, these girls are smart. Play your part.